Previously on Compassion Radio.
Before, when he first got into being a police officer, that when people would say, "Aren't you nervous? Doesn't that scare you?" I would answer them and say, "No, you know, he was in the military and he'd go on deployments. That scared me. This is nothing." And now we're at a point to where he's gone on several protests and people are yelling, people are screaming. It's destruction, it's evil. And there comes to be a point where you can get scared or you can do exactly what he said, surrender, surrender.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do. And this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Tracking the triumph of God in every nation on earth and celebrating our 73rd year of sharing the light of the gospel in the most remote places on earth. We are Compassion Radio. Thanks for hopping on board this Friday. What comes to mind when you think of those who work in law enforcement? It's tough work, and without question, one of the most challenging of professions. Today, Bram concludes our three-part conversation with new friends from Shield of Hope Ministries, Kim and Eric Bauer. Let's pick it up here with Mark as he describes how he was led to go and minister to law enforcement in Honduras and some of the challenges he faced.
You know, I told him right off the bat that things in Honduras work differently. You know, there's no schedules. You don't make appointments online. It just doesn't work that way. And so I said, what you do is you buy a plane ticket and you go in faith and you let God take care of the rest. So he did that. He took that step out of, you know, being unsure and not quite understanding what was going to happen. And we had an opportunity to speak with the head police chief for the Honduran National Police. And there's around 17,000 of them.
Analogous to our highway patrol and FBI and those kind of officers.
They would be our version of U.S. Marshals.
Okay.
Because they're over the whole country, essentially their only form of civil law enforcement. And then they have military. That's pretty much it. We were going to go to the capital, Tegucigalpa. From there, we were going to go to the island of Roatan to speak to a female officer who had been telling Israel that she wanted to have an opportunity to meet with us. But of course, we always just pray, Lord, we're going to meet who you want us to meet in your timing, but we're just going to go. So there was a lot of things that weren't ironed out. We didn't know where we were going to stay in Roatan. We didn't know if we were going to be able to get a flight to there, because it's one of those deals where you, for the most part, have to get to Honduras first and then book the flight. So we got up early that morning and there was a lady, her name was Lisa. She is the director for HALA, which is Honduran Abundant Life Association, which is run by a gentleman named Dave Dashner, who lives in the U.S. and also lives in Roatan. We had an opportunity to meet with him and tell him about our ministry. Lisa lives full time in Roatan. And so we had thought, well, maybe that could possibly be a resource for us over there, but we weren't sure of any of that. She had emailed me when we had gotten to San Pedro Sula and said, I can be at the airport to pick you guys up in Roatan if you need. And so we were all pretty excited about that. So we get up really early. We drive to Tegucigalpa. It's 4.5-5 hours away. We get there, we find the police station, and Israel goes inside to see if the police chief is ready to speak to us, and he's not there. He's back in San Pedro Sula, where we just left, because there was a prison riot and some officers had been killed.
So your best laid plans were to deal with the national police in the capital and also get to Roatan all in the same trip.
Within 5 days.
Right. Very condensed time. Of course, we're on schedule to get back to the States. You've got a job here. And now all of it's gone haywire.
Correct.
So what happens next?
So in times like that, it's your response that matters.
Yeah.
It's what do you do? Because we could easily say, well, you know, we've just wasted this trip and forget it. We're just going to go back home. So we said, well, there's got to be somebody here that we can talk to. And so we ended up speaking to a Commissioner Molina, who essentially is over the traffic division for the Honduran National Police. And it was interesting because one of the things that we wanted to speak to him about was, is there a possibility for us to be able to meet with officers on a larger scale? While we were in his office waiting, the police chief had told him, you need to get there quickly to speak to these guys. So we actually ended up waiting about 45 minutes. In that time, sitting there, we were speaking to a couple of the admin ladies that worked there. And one just kind of said, would it be okay if she had a Bible? And so we said, well, absolutely, here's the Bible. And so we have an opportunity to witness to her at that time as well. And so Commissioner Molina comes, and within about a minute or two of speaking to him, he says, you know, what would be really great is if you guys could speak to a lot of officers at one time. And we hadn't even gotten to that point yet.
Yeah.
And so, again, it was just clearly God putting the right person at the right time in the right
place.
Yeah,
when other people are giving you your own elevator pitch, you know that God's been stirring some things up.
Absolutely. Yeah. We got to speak to him, and then he says, we explained that we're going to go to Roatan and things like that. And he said, well, I can have officers there at the airport waiting for you guys if you need a ride. We were like, well, that's great, because we didn't know where we were going. We fly to Roatan on definitely one of the smallest planes I've ever been on. And that was interesting, especially since I was about 5 inches from one of the pilots, and he looked like he was about 17. There was a lot of prayer on that flight. I can assure you that.
Kim, did he bother to let you know that flight was coming up, or did you find out about it afterwards?
Oh, no, I had no clue. He made sure to tell me that the pilot was sweating and shaking. And at one point, Eric asked him, you know, about it. And I guess he had to turn the plane a certain way coming in because the plane would flip over.
But... awesome. Yeah, he had the, I don't know what the technical term in the aviation field is, but he had the stick as far to the right as he could, and his arms were locked out, and he was sweating and he was shaking, and the window was open, and he had just kind of said, yeah, if I don't do it like this, the plane will just flip over before it lands. That was interesting.
So you had a lot of angels sitting on the wings and holding that guy's arms over. Got you there safely.
Right.
What happens next?
So Lisa was there.
Okay.
And the awesome thing about Lisa is that she's actually from Texas and speaks fluent Spanish. The Lord had most definitely put her in our path at that time to essentially be our guide while we were there in Roatan. We didn't know where the place was that we would be staying. And she calls up the owner of the hotel that we stayed at because she knew him and said, I have your guests. I'm going to be bringing them by. It was awesome how the Lord just showed provision through logistics. Next day, I learned that Roatan has a municipal police department, and I had no idea that that existed. I said, well, let's go talk to them. She knows the police chief. His name is Joe Solomon. Many great things about Joe. One thing is that he speaks perfect English. And so I was really excited because this would be the first time that I would get to share Christ and give testimony where I didn't need a translator. For those that haven't done that before, it can be very difficult, especially in terms of praying when you're having to stop, allow a translation, and then you come back to it. And so it can be quite difficult to do that. So I was excited about that. So myself and Christopher, Lisa and Israel, go into Joe Solomon's office, and we're all, you know, full of the Spirit, ready to just tell the chief about Christ. And it was interesting, too, because another brother had texted and said that he would be praying that Chief Solomon would be open to hearing about the Lord. And in about a minute or two of kind of telling him what we do, he pretty much busts out in a full sermon because he's a pastor. And so, you know, we were just blown away. Here we thought we were going to come and minister to this guy. And he's ministering to us, and he's pouring into us and feeding into us. And, you know, at the time, we didn't quite understand what was going on, and we didn't really quite get what God was doing. But it was an awesome meeting with him, and we spoke for a long time and could definitely see that he was a man of God and was filled with the Spirit and doing amazing things.
So you know you've got some spiritual compadres there, and he's somebody that obviously loves the Lord, and he's ministering back to you. Now, I've discovered with lots of mission trips before that it often is quite advantageous for these local pastors to have somebody who's come from a faraway place to pick up the baton for a while and do something that they've not been able to do effectively locally.
Right.
I understand that that kind of happened for you.
It was. It was very, very interesting. You know, we had brought numerous flashlights. We bring from hybrid light flashlights or solar lights, and they are amazing little lights, run off of solar power, and so they charge in the sun. And, you know, these officers that are in the mountains that don't have electricity don't need batteries for their flashlights. They also have a little USB charger on them so that they can charge their phones, which is a big, big thing for them as well. And so we have these Spanish Bibles and these flashlights, and the deal with the flashlights, one, it's a tool for them to be able to do their job effectively, but most importantly, we explain to them how God calls us to be a light in a dark world. And as a police officer, you have a tremendous ability and responsibility to do that. And so every time that they walk around with this flashlight, they know that some guy from Texas told them that the Lord's calling them to be more than what they've settled for. And it's just an awesome tool to share the gospel. We gave Chief Solomon these lights and these Bibles, and we left his office. And our next location to go to was one of the national Honduran police stations. We drive there, and I remember driving up this dirt road, and just on the left-hand side was the building. And just remember feeling a very dark presence. just even looking at it, as I think back, just even looking at it, it was just very dark. And so we were under the assumption that they knew we were coming. However, when we got there and knocked on the door, one of their command personnel opened the door and it looked like he had just kind of woken up. Most of the places over there, they actually live inside the police department. So yeah. That's not a rare thing to see. And so we said what we wanted to do.
Your boss sent us.
Right. Yeah. So he just kind of had this look of, what are you guys doing here? What do you want? And we had told him that we had these flashlights and these Bibles to donate. And he kind of perked up and had a smile on his face and said, come on in. Yeah. And we kind of quickly realized that he was certainly willing to have us come in because he just thought we were going to give them some free stuff. So a lot of these officers apparently were on lunch. So we waited there for about 20 minutes. He had actually walked out because we had asked him, are there other officers we could speak to? So he got on the phone and walked out of the room. And it was at that point that Christopher said, we just need to pray right now over this place. We prayed for the spirit to just overwhelm this place and to give us the words to speak to these officers. And so these guys, it was about 12 of them, into this room. Some are in full uniform. Some are kind of half in uniform. They didn't look like they were too happy to be there. Yeah. It was definitely not voluntary. It was more of, hey, you need to come over here type of a deal. You know, we just really felt just this dark weight. And Christopher said, Eric, you just talk to them and I'm going to pray while you're talking. And so I did. I shared my testimony. It was amazing because I only had 20 minutes. And in that 20 minutes, as I'm facing these officers, I can literally see God changing their hearts just over their faces, over their demeanor. It was the craziest thing I'd ever seen because you had these guys who really kind of had this stone-faced look. And then you had guys that you could tell God was getting a hold of them right there. And then as we were speaking, God was just changing their hearts and changing their lives. Not all of them, but it was very clear on about half of them that the Lord was doing that. One of the verses that I wanted to read was John 12:46, where Jesus says, I've come into this world as a light, and whoever would believe in me would not remain in darkness. And as I wanted to read that verse, one of the officers asked for a Bible so that he could read along. It was just, words can't describe it. I mean, you had to be there to really see it. And so when we were done, some of these officers were crying and were hugging each other. And it was just different. From the time we went in to the time we left, everything had changed. It was just amazing.
Some good life lessons to take home on today's edition of Compassion Radio. And we'll get right back to Bram's interview with Kim and Eric Bauer of Shield of Hope Ministries in just a moment. Well, March is always a special time of year for us at Compassion Radio, since we'll soon be celebrating our 73rd anniversary of radio ministry. Quite a remarkable milestone indeed. This month, would you consider blessing us with a special anniversary gift of $25, $50, even $73 or more? Remember, no gift is too small or too large for that matter. And if each of us does just a small part, God can truly multiply these gifts in amazing ways. Norm and Cher have watched this happen over the years, firsthand, time and time again. Reach out to us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can always find us online at CompassionRadio.com. Let's get back now to the program.
From the time we went in to the time we left, everything had changed. It was just amazing. And so at that point, we came to the realization that the Lord brought us to Joe Solomon because he was going to pour into us because we were fixing to go into an extremely dark place. It's just an example of stepping out in faith and letting the Lord steer the boat.
And he has provision along the way. He drops in the key people to keep us on track and our tanks filled so that he can spend us, expend us as his ambassadors and as his cistern of living water. And those dishes were getting dipped into you and Chris all that time. And new life's happening and sold because of that. So obviously, you've become rich in the things of the kingdom along the way, and you get it. You know that you're building for things that are eternal.
Right.
And now you got to come back and figure out a way to translate that experience and that knowledge and that new vision to others. And now Shield of Hope Ministries is becoming a reality. And you're after other believers who happen to be working in law enforcement and get them excited about using these tools you've been learning are effective at reaching cross-culturally and within the police culture that they live in right now. As we've said in all these programs, links available to what you're doing on all the podcasts of our programs on our website, a place to click quickly to go see what you're doing. So folks, if you haven't visited our website recently, drop by there and check out the podcast pages so you can find out what Eric and Chris are doing through the Shield of Hope Ministry and follow those links there. But as we wrap up these segments that we've been doing on this ministry and this life story that you're giving us about how God poured his life into you and how he's pouring it through you now, Kim, Eric, I want to ask you in closing, what would you say to those who follow the Lord, who are dealing with these struggles in their marriages, in their careers, who really desperately want to do the right thing? They want to be God's man or woman in the circumstance they find themselves, in the career that they've chosen, in the passion that they have for serving people. What do they need to hear from you, somebody who's been in the trenches with them?
It's not a popular thing for an officer or a man to surrender.
Mm.
And so
it's a tough word right there.
It is, but that's what you have to do. You have to surrender your life completely to Christ, not just your home life or your work life or your social life, but your entire life, because Christ is worth it. He's worth every bit of it, and he certainly deserves us for what he freely gave to us, which is salvation. And I can see in my own life, apart from Christ, everything fails.
Mm.
There is no hope. There is nothing good outside of Christ. We tend to have a hard time believing in people and putting faith in people, and rightfully so. You know, one thing that I've always told Kim was that I'm going to fail you. I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to let you down. But Christ will never fail you. He will never hurt you, and he will never let you down. That's the type of person that I want to give my life to, and really to just serve Christ in everything and not myself.
This is not a license to sin, of course. You're not saying that I have no responsibility or no desire to serve my wife. It's about recognizing that even the best of us will fall short of that incredible example that's in Jesus.
Absolutely.
But he is building into you day by day, and you're getting better at this as you go along. And that's much to celebrate right there, that your marriage is getting stronger.
Absolutely.
Kim, what would you say to the spouses of those who serve in law enforcement?
Don't become complacent in the lifestyle. You can't. You've got to be proactive. It's a hard job. I know Eric was in the military. He was deployed several places, and there was a scariness there because he'd go away for a year, and there were places you would wonder if he's going to come back. I think the wives now are seeing that that's home. I can say before, when he first got into being a police officer, that when people would say, aren't you nervous? Doesn't that scare you? I would answer them and say, no, you know, he was in the military and he'd go on deployments. That scared me. This is nothing. And now we're at a point to where he's gone on several protests and people are yelling, people are screaming. People literally will chop off a pig's head and carry it around a chain. And it's destruction. It's evil. And there comes to be a point where you can get scared, yeah, or you can do exactly what he said, surrender, surrender. And you do it now. You cannot. I feel like our flesh likes to put it off a little bit naturally because it's hard, maybe procrastinate, but surrender, start now and really trust the Lord. Really, really trust the Lord. Because if you don't, you're not going to make it. You will let sin in. You will let doubt in, fear in. And then it just, it's a pattern that creeps in and it starts over again into your marriage.
And for those who have reached the bottom of that cycle, realize they let it get in.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to speak some restorative words now to those who have tried and have fallen on their faces and are wondering if it's worth getting up again.
You know, one thing the Lord has put on my heart in the last few months is the word urgency.
Mm.
We're running out of time here in this earthly life. And really, we have to come to the realization that this life means nothing, that it's the eternal that means everything. And that is what we work for. That is what we put our hope in. That is what we get up every day and really strive for. The Lord is giving us, we're under this period of grace right now. And that period is coming to a close. And we don't know when it will, but we know that it is. And when that time comes, it'll be too late. And so the encouragement in that is for those that are suffering, we know where they're at because we used to be there. And it's not necessarily something that's going to just be fixed right away.
And you walk these same streets every day. You haven't walked away from this career, this calling. It's important to say, though, too, we're not just talking about a hope for another time, another place. We're talking about inviting God to bring this eternal power and life into the present.
Right.
You are making a huge difference in the lives of those who are turning to Christ in Honduras and in the police department around you. I know they practically call you the preacher on the beat now. So your lives, your example, the things you've had to say to us in the past few days here have been very important, because I know there are many police officers and families or military families that listen to this program that are catching a glimpse of what's possible. So I would encourage you all, learn more about what they're doing through Shield of Hope. Follow those links on our website and learn more about how you might be able to step in and start learning these methods of connecting with people, the ways you can begin that conversation. Maybe those missionary opportunities through your own churches that would take you to places in other countries, other parts of Latin America, or things that aren't touched yet. There's lots of countries out there, and there's lots of churches that are taking these missions trips. I'd urge these police officers, go, just like Eric did, and find a place to serve there. And you never know what kind of opportunities in law enforcement would open up for a real revival. So, Eric, I'm going to ask you for one more thing before we go today. Would you pray, especially for the police officers that are out there?
Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for just the way that you've designed us as men and as women. And, Lord, you use us for your purpose, whether it be a police officer or a teacher or a doctor, Father. And there's just a special thing that you've placed inside of police officers, ones that are willing to go out, Lord, and make tough decisions and bear the weight of the consequences, Father, for the actions of others. And so I just lift them up to you, Father. I lift them up to you, and I just pray, Lord, that through this and just through other ways, Lord, that you would bring them to you, Father, that those officers out there right now that are hurting, that are miserable, Lord, that have no hope, that are suffering from addictions, that are going through divorces, that are thinking about suicide, Father, that you would just step in, Father, and just show them your love, show them your hope, show them, Father, a different life, Lord, than what they've been in. And Father, I just pray for the officers, Lord, who do know you, who are on fire and who's serving and who following you, Father. And I just encourage them, Lord, to continue. I pray your peace and I pray your hope over them, Father. I pray your strength and your wisdom. And I also lift up families, the wives, the husbands, the children, Lord, of the police officers as they go out and just give of themselves every day, that you would just pour into those families, Lord, that you would give them strength and peace, Father, knowing that you are in control and that everything in this life, Father, is about glorifying you and your kingdom. And we just love you, Lord, and we praise you, and we thank you in your Son's wonderful and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Eric, marvelous prayer, because you understand what's really going on in the heart of a police officer every day. Now, I'm going to invite our people out there that are dealing with those issues you just mentioned in that prayer. They want to reach out to somebody who gets it, who understands, who knows. I'm going to invite them to follow those links again through our website. Contact Eric and contact Chris there at Shield of Hope Ministries. Let them know where you are. They will respond to you, and I know they're praying for you. So again, Eric, Kim, thank you, the Bowers, for being with us on Compassion Radio these past few days.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Jim, we finished last month a marvelous project called Door of Hope, and this month is something kind of new for us. We're actually going to focus on an entire month of celebrating the amazing things God has done over the past 73 years of Compassion Radio, but also to talk about the amazing things he's putting before us in the months and years to come. And we'll have lots of reports from people on the field we haven't heard from in a while. We're going to bring them back to you, let you know how the projects you've supported so faithfully in the years past are coming along, and the fruit of those projects over the years that we've been on the air. But to begin this month, we really need to remind you that we can do nothing that you hear about unless you give.
March has always been such an exciting time of the year because it is indeed the month that marks our anniversary, I think dating back to 1944. And I am thoroughly looking forward to all that we're going to be offering our wonderful listeners this month.
It is a legacy that I feel very honored to step into. And now the program, of course, has evolved and changed in interesting ways over those many decades. But some things have never changed. And those have to do with focusing on building God's kingdom here and abroad. Back then, it was looking at opportunities after wars and orphanages and ways to take care of children that were abandoned after World War II and the Korean conflict. And those projects, those orphanages, those ministries that were born during those early years are still going. There are many other new needs and new opportunities. Folks, these are the kind of things that Compassion Radio has always been passionate about. And we're passionate about them because Jesus made it clear that he was passionate about those who were suffering. We want to encourage the body of Christ to step up, to know, to think, to pray, to grow, to give, and to go. And we are the ones that go for you in many of these opportunities. Sometimes you travel with us, literally. But as we go because you send us, and we go with you in our pocket. So friends, as you think about the kind of ministries that you have opportunities to support throughout the year of 2017, we are deeply grateful that Compassion Radio is part of that mix for you.
Compassion Radio is a unique voice. We thank you so much for listening, and we thank you for standing behind this unique ministry.
And you stand behind us each and every day with your gifts and with your prayers. Mm-hmm. And you can reach us right now by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. We have Lena or Paula available to you to talk with you personally about how you can be involved with this month's anniversary month of giving.
That's right, Bram. And of course, don't forget the website, CompassionRadio.com, safe and secure, CompassionRadio.com.
The address to mail us with your prayer requests and your gifts and your concerns is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Bless you, friends. And now we bid you a goodbye for today. But please come back and join us again for another important, impactful program from Compassion Radio.